everyone is gathering and set to begin a condensed 60-game season in the majors. Do we know where the Blue Jays are gathering yet?
It seems like it's still not official where they'll be. Sort of the latest is just that there's continues to be sort of an official okay, or they're still working out some details with the federal government, as I understand it. So the team still is in Dunedin. They've gathered there the last couple of days because the MLB requires there to be an intake process, which essentially is that the players have to gather for their spring training or summer training, and they're being tested for COVID-19. And so that process has started for the Blue Jays in Dunedin, and they're just kind of waiting for the okay from the government, whether they can come to Toronto and play regular season games as well as spring training here. And if they don't get that okay, they'll just stay in Dunedin.
Yeah, and that's probably not what they want to do, given what's gone on in Florida, and that they've already got cases that got into their clubhouse in Dunedin. You know, a similar timing to when the Phillies did just down the road in Clearwater. Their best case scenario and priority absolutely would be to play at Rogers Center, correct?
Yeah. It's been the preference for the team to have their regular season games in Toronto for a while now, essentially since the shutdown happened. Back in March, Mark Shapiro has kind of been in communication with all levels of government to sort of make the case that the Blue Jays want to be based in Toronto. And then in more recent weeks, as cases sort of escalated in Florida, it became kind of clear for the Blue Jays that their preference would also be to hold their training session in Toronto. So that's why they're kind of making those dual asks. So they have to ask for the training, they have to ask for the regular season. And they're sort of just waiting on the okay for that right now, but for sure the preference would be Toronto. Of course, this is complicated from, you know, the government's perspective because of the quarantine that is required in for people coming into Canada, you know, as well as the border issue. So that's why it's sort of taking a long time. I think the government wants to be very careful and wants to ensure that, you know, the protocol that the Blue Jays will be asking their players to undertake is as thorough as possible.
Yeah, fair enough. It does seem like getting players into the bubble has been the biggest challenge for sports teams, be that the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, that if you could just get everyone in and symptom-free and clear, we could start to see these things go without a hitch. But testing, what, 5 or 6% of NHLers have come back positive, and there's been numerous cases around the majors. Is that what you see maybe the biggest challenge, is just getting everyone into the bubble?
Yeah, and, like, I think there is an expectation that there will be positive tests all across the Major League, especially if you're kind of collecting these guys who have been dispersed all across mostly the United States, but elsewhere. Yep. And I think the thing that is probably the most complicated about the MLB plan is that they're playing in home ballparks and there is more travel, whereas, like, the NHL and NBA are using the sort of hub city bubble models, which to me seems like a more controlled environment. And I think you're right to say, like, the biggest issue is just getting everyone in that bubble. Whereas MLB, there's not really a tight bubble. As much as the travel will be reduced because it'll be regional. So the Blue Jays, for example, are just going to be based in the East, essentially. So playing the AL East and the NL East. So the travel, it won't be as much. But at the same time, they're still getting on planes and they're still, you know, going from city to city, and they'll be leaving the country. And for example, for the Blue Jays, they'll be leaving Canada and coming back to Canada. So for me and the MLB plan, that's the most complicated part of it, the travel to me. And, you know, we'll see how it works out. Obviously, the travel is going to be very controlled, charters and private buses and everything. But, you know, it opens up the risk when you're moving around.
Yeah, I don't know that a trip to visit the Florida Marlins was appetizing to begin with, but now, like, yikes, yeah, the whole plane of people come back from Florida. Excellent. Just what we need.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's also kind of underlines the whole issue of why the Blue Jays want to be in Toronto. I think there's a lot more comfort just being based in Toronto. At the same time, what they'll what the players will be having to do in Toronto will be very, very, very controlled. So I think that they wouldn't have any sort of interaction with the general public. And I know people in Toronto, fans in Toronto, there is some concern from the general public about what would be allowed and should we be allowing, you know, professional athletes to kind of skirt the rules a little bit. And I haven't seen sort of the protocol yet, but as I understand it, they would be in a fairly tight bubble in the hotel that's attached to the Rogers Center. But at the same time, it's asked the question, like, there's hotel workers and how much interaction. I mean, it's hard to prevent any interaction with, you know, regular people who the players might just come across, whether it's a hotel worker, you know, some workers in working security at the Rogers Center. So, you know, there is a level of risk. Obviously, everyone wants everyone to be as safe as possible. And so I think that is why it's just such a complicated situation and why, you know, the government and the team and everyone involved is trying to make it as safe as possible. And it's taking its time for us to get an answer.
Fair enough. Caitlin McGrath joining us from The Athletic on all things Blue Jays. Take us back to how it got started for you with COVID. I believe March 12th was the day that the NBA canceled their season, and I think the rest of the sporting world was immediately watching with trigger fingers. Okay, what's happening here? You were in Dunedin at spring training, but walk us through those really weird and unprecedented few days there.
Yeah, it was strange. And as you say, I think it was the night before that the NBA had its first case. And then I think they quickly shut down. And then it was kind of up in the air whether the NHL would follow. And they soon did. And then at that point, most of us who were down in Dunedin kind of covering the Blue Jays, there was a game going on. And I believe most of the spring training games happened that day because MLB had not made the decision by the time the scheduled first pitch was for those games, especially if you were in Florida. I think maybe some of the teams in Arizona didn't get going because of the time difference. But anyway, so we were watching, I think it was Blue Jays against the Canadian Junior National Team in TD Ballpark. But I mean, most of us weren't really watching the game because we were just waiting for the announcement and to write our stories about spring training being shut down. So from there, it was a strange experience just because at that point, I think I was still scheduled to be in Florida for 10 more days. But of course, all of my colleagues and I rebooked our flights, flew back to Toronto, and it was a bit stressful because I think that a lot of people were trying to get back to Toronto, whether it was the Canadians that had just been down in Florida, so the flight was overbooked, and there was concern whether all of us would get on it or not. We did, made it back to Toronto, and then I actually had to do like the 14-day sort of quarantine, and this was the very early days of COVID, so it was sort of beginning and cases were slowly rising. But yeah, it was strange. And at that point, you know, it's funny to look back because at that point I had no idea how long MLB would be shut down. And I think like at the time they just postponed the regular season for like 2 weeks or something, or it was 2 or 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, maybe it's possible. And like, now you look back, I just had no idea like how this whole thing would unfold. And I think we're still kind of in a process in our life where day to day and week to week and month to month, things change so much, and we can't really be sure what the next week is going to look like.
Caitlin McGrath with us from The Athletic on all things Blue Jays here on Boomer in the Morning. Ryan Pinder alongside Will Nault.
Caitlin, I'm just curious, when you look at the 60-man roster that was released by all clubs, and the Blue Jays had 58 on that list, leaving two spots open. Any surprise they left some open? Because for the most part on the 60-name list, there wasn't a ton of surprises.
No, I think like a lot of teams left a few spots open just because there could be some sort of transaction, transactions made between clubs. Like there could be trades. A team could cut a guy and the Blue Jays might want to pick him up. So leaving like a couple spots just kind of keeps them open to make some waiver claims or whatever it could be. And also there's the possibility, this is something that people have mentioned, is the Blue Jays' first-round pick this year, Austin Martin. He hasn't yet signed, but he's going to be one of their more highly touted prospects. So there is a scenario in which the Blue Jays could sign him in the next number of weeks, and then he could be added to that spot so that he gets an introduction to the organization, and then his development continues a little bit. So I think just leaving two spots open just gives the team a little bit of flexibility.
I think the one surprise or the non-surprise would be how many pitchers were on the list, because the one thing we do know for sure is with all this time off, and then, of course, you're going to come back for camp here in a couple of days and then try to get as much work as you can. But for the most part, if you look across Major League Baseball this year, this is the area that most teams will have to get really creative. What do you look at in terms of pitching and how many guys will be in the rotation, do you think? Is it going to be your typical starter workload? Like, what are you expecting when the team does get to games at the end of the month here?
Yeah, I think you said it. Creativity is going to be key this year with teams. I can see a scenario in which they would maybe start out with a six-man rotation, or if they kind of like pair up guys. So especially in the first number of weeks when you're allowed to have up to 30 players on the roster, on the big league roster, you could see guys sort of piggybacking. So like one starter comes in and starts the game in a more traditional way, and then after him, another starter comes in and they cover like 3 to 4 innings each, and then a reliever would come in at the end of the game. So I can see a scenario where you're kind of like pairing guys up and having like two starters per game, especially in the beginning when the guys are still getting stretched out a little bit. But the Blue Jays are in an interesting scenario too, because they have some young pitchers that they probably do want to get some competitive innings in them. We're looking at a season ahead where there's not going to be any minor leagues. So there's no AAA to send a guy down. If a guy's like on the cusp of the major leagues, traditionally he would be in AAA, and then he would either be knocking down the door because he's doing so well in AAA, or there would be an injury at the major league level and he would get the call up. So a name that sticks out to me and probably every single Blue Jays fan across the country is Nate Pearson. He is the team's top prospect. He's their top pitcher. He's going to be potentially their ace of the future. And the team, wants him to get competitive innings. Back in spring training in March, he looked great. He looked like he was ready for major league action, but presumably the team would have started him in AAA because he kind of needed a few more reps there, and the team was just set on doing that. And now with no AAA, as I said, what do you do with Nate Pearson? He's got to get innings. He's major league ready. I would expect that he makes a start this year in the majors. I'm not sure that he'll necessarily be named to the opening day roster. I'm not sure that he, maybe they keep him in that alternate site for the first few weeks just to, like, I don't know, get him more ready or to develop him a little bit more. I'm sure we'll get some answers in the coming days when spring training kind of gets going a little bit. But yeah, he's a guy that I would watch for, and I would totally expect to see him pitching in the majors. I just don't know when yet.
And maybe you'll get answers, as you say, once camp does begin and you're able to talk to the managing group and certainly to talk to the front office staff on a day-to-day basis. But I'm curious if anything you've heard, whether it's from your colleagues or from people inside the organization, at these alternate sites, because you mentioned no minor league baseball, are they planning exhibition games against nearby teams? What's the plan there with those guys at the alternate site, or is it too early to tell?
Yeah, I have to sort of read through some of the rules and stuff. I haven't totally looked closely at the alternate site. I know like intra-squad games will be allowed. So potentially you could just have scenarios where they're playing against each other. I'm not sure quite yet whether they will be allowed to have sort of, games or exhibition games down at that level. And even what other teams would be around the Blue Jays team. The Blue Jays are most likely going to be based in Buffalo, so I'd have to look into who else will be around there as well to kind of cut down on travel time.
Caitlin, just who are you most excited to see here? This is clearly a very young team and one that also spent some big dough in free agency. Fans are hoping they've turned the corner after an ugly 2019 campaign. What is going to be the sit back and happy to write a column about story when things do get going at the end of the month?
I would say I would be most excited for Hyunjin Ryu to just make his first official start as a Blue Jay. I think like it feels so long. It feels like another lifetime ago that I was writing about them signing him and, how he was going to be the new ace. And even in spring, he was looking good and he was quickly adjusting to the organization and everybody really liked him and he was impressing. And then it just has kind of, I haven't really thought about the fact that he's their new rotation ace in so long because there's been obviously other things going on. But really, like if we think back, like that was one of the main storylines of this year when we were sort of predicting back in January or early February what, you know, what to look for this season. Obviously, the other storylines are the young players, Vlad and Bo and Kevin, and what kind of improvements they're going to make. But, yeah, for me, it was like seeing the rebuilt rotation, because last year the Blue Jays rotation was such a mess. They went through so many different starting pitchers, and this year they really put an emphasis on at least building a rotation that was going to be more reliable, or they hoped was going to be more reliable, with veteran arms and some young guys in there as well. So for me, it's Hyunjin Ryu, watching him, and also just kind of like the rotation, see how it may improve over last year.
Yeah, fair enough. No, it's funny. You're right. Like, that's the biggest free agent signing this front office has made. It was absolutely we're going to make some significant efforts to be competitive this season after a tough 2019. And yeah, there's been no thought about that with the pandemic. The other thing we've forgotten about, everyone hated the Houston Astros before all this came down March 12th. I'm excited to see the Astros revenge tour. Are you?
Yeah, that's actually, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like thinking like, man, like it feels so long ago that the biggest story in baseball was just the Astros cheating. And there's, you know, now, I mean, remember there was all this talk about like how would teams react to the Astros, and you know, were guys going to throw at Astros players and all that kind of stuff. I mean, now that's not even possible. I don't even think. I mean, I know there's rules in the operations manual that players can't fight, they can't brawl, they can't do any of that. They can't even really be near each other more than they're actually supposed to. So it's going to be interesting, like. Are players still like kind of mad about that, or just so many other things have happened that they're just like, oh, we can't even think about that because we're so worried about like keeping our protocols in place, and this is a stressful season, and there's no, I don't know, like it will be interesting. Like, I'm not sure where the, like, I don't think the schedule is out yet, so I don't know even where the Astros will start their season. Obviously, they won't play the Blue Jays unless they make it to the postseason, because Blue Jays aren't in that sort of realigned regional division, but. It'll still be interesting to see how those teams respond to the Astros.
And they won't get booed every time they go to a new park. There's no fans to boo. Caitlin, hey, thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it. Exciting to, I imagine, move on from COVID writing, hopefully, and get to some of these storylines on what is going to be an entertaining season of the Blue Jays here in 2020 if it does go off without a hitch. Thanks for sharing time with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, there's Caitlin McGrath of The Athletic.